I'm going to be looking at my watch throughout, so that's why. So don't mind that. I don't have any relationships to disclose. I want to, the approach, I think it's actually building quite well on what Keanu was talking about, because really our work too was focusing on these places, and we don't take an approach of communications as separate from the program work. It really has to be integrated as part of that work. So we were a little bit different from the three other sites in that we had both obesity and tobacco sites for communities putting prevention to work or grants. So we were actually integrating those. And when you're doing communications, it's actually quite interesting, and you'll see some of our products in which we try to have both of those messages combined in one. But just as an overview, we wanted to make sure most of our money went out to the community. We had 55 competitive grants to CBOs, school districts, local governments. We had some direct grants to some community partners. We had a leadership team, coalition, and really trying to reach people where they live, work, learn, and play, with strong emphasis on inequities. And we had a geographic focus, which you're going to see here shortly, in terms of South Seattle and South King County, where we had the greatest inequities. And really the campaign and our work, whether it's earned media, it's our paid media, our digital strategy was in support of our priorities in terms of systems and environments. If this is, these are the maps, and it's too small for you to see the numbers actually for, you know, the different areas of the county, but basically our South Seattle and South King County, we have 39 cities. The biggest one being Seattle, but we have a lot of other cities, and actually a lot of cities that are much worse economically off and also have bigger health challenges. And this is the maps for obesity and tobacco, showing that in South Seattle and in South King County is where we have the greatest need, and this is where we focused our efforts. And this is also overlays itself, of course, with income, with education, with race, ethnicity. We see the same maps kind of repeat themselves over and over again, and also other chronic diseases such as asthma. Just an overview of what we accomplished, and then I'm going to talk about the communications products. Some of the things, for example, included smoke-free hospitals. Five of our major hospitals went smoke-free. We created smoke-free parks. Now our county parks are smoke-free. We have 22 cities that now passed smoke-free ordinances to create tobacco-free parks. Smoke-free affordable housing, it's actually up to 13,000 units now. I didn't get a chance to update that figure. Seattle Housing Authority, King County Housing Authority, most of their units have all gone smoke-free. In terms of obesity, a lot of guidelines, for example, land use guidelines, vending guidelines, which we're supporting organizations and implementing those guidelines that we as a health department have developed through our Board of Health, but also working on things such as healthy corner stores, with the faith-based communities, WIC access, like Wood County, physical activity in schools, and nutrition. So for our communications work, what we did was really start very early on. We did a survey to get a sense of, okay, where people are at, how should we develop our communications campaign, and how should we guide our earned media efforts as well as we work with reporters? What are the things that we're going to be able to highlight? And also, what are some of the programs and some of the initiatives, some of the things that we put early on, now our accomplishments? At first, we wanted to get a sense of what the people support. What do they feel about you know, healthy nutrition in the schools, or what do they think about less soda in organizations? In terms of, we did a survey of about 1,000 people, oversampling for low-income communities and our target communities, Latinos and African Americans as well. And the main themes that came out of that, and it's kind of interesting, is really people appreciated, they had a very, actually quite a good understanding and appreciated the importance of environments in influencing health. We actually thought that they weren't going to have such a good understanding of those ideas and those concepts. But actually, they thought it was very important. They thought it was significant. They thought the individual also had a responsibility, but thought the environment was important as well. But really, why was it important to do this work? They said, in terms of quality of life, it's important for people to live healthy and have a good quality of life. There was a sense of shared responsibility. People thought actually that addressing health inequities or health disparities was important, and that everybody should enjoy good health. And then the economic argument, it was, we were doing this right as a during recovery of a recession, and they thought that this was important because it was going to create for a stronger economy, a stronger region. It was interesting in our surveying that we were able to look at a lot of differences by demographics. So we saw, for example, low-income communities of color, were the ones that actually had very good appreciation of the challenges in their environments and were very ready to make the changes and wanted to push and mobilize around some of these environment changes, more than some of the white population and better off populations. It's quite interesting. And then also, as I was saying before, we were asking about particularly our policies or the system kinds of changes that we wanted to do. And we actually got more than 50% support and sometimes up to 90% support for everything that we wanted to do, whether it was, again, reducing access to sugary drinks or tobacco-free parks, smoke-free hospitals. And those were very useful when we were doing our earned media efforts, too, and getting the message out when we did in the news releases, those kinds of things. We were able to use that very powerful data. And when we were talking to decision makers, we have, as I was saying, we have 39 cities. We were talking, you know, 22 went smoke-free, that we're able to say, hey, this is how your constituents feel. That was very important in making a strong case. So when we did the campaign, we still focused on raising awareness about neighborhoods impacting health. And then we wanted to advance environments and system changes and really inspire residents to get involved. We wanted to have that focus. Hopefully, we tested this earlier. And it did work. Whoops, I'm going to do this. So it's a 30-second ad. Well, I'm going to explain actually what I'm going to show. This is when we developed the concept, we decided to do a focus on this character. Her name is Mia, and very innocent. She's a tween. And she goes around King County in Seattle and starts asking provocative questions about the environment. And why do some areas have healthy foods and others don't? Or why do some people have tobacco all over the place and other places don't? Those kinds of questions. Or why is there, you know, tobacco marketing everywhere? So that she was an intro into doing these stories. And then actually in our many stories that we did, we actually featured our grantees. Or if you see here, it's actually in this 30-second ad that ran on local TV and features some of the churches that went smoke-free. It focuses on another institution that also stopped using sugary drinks. Also the churches did that. One of the healthy corner stores. They're all actually grantees or folks that we work with. So hopefully this is going to work. Whoops. Where's the pointer? Oh, there it is.
Hi, I'm Mia. I want to be a healthy kid, but sometimes it's hard to do around here. Oh, whoa. I wondered what we could do, so I asked some girls around town. I found out that some people at the neighborhood store sell fresh fruits and veggies, and others asked for smoke-free places. And it all happened. So why can't everyone ask for things that make our neighborhoods healthier? Find out how you can help at letsdothiskingcounty.org.
All right, so that was the campaign. We did some of the typical assets, including what LA and New York were talking about, PSAs, web videos, billboards. Really importantly, we actually produced, we have in our health department and now in our county too, as part of our equity and social justice work, we have a translation policy in which materials have to be translated at least into Spanish and preferably into more languages. We actually have 6 top languages for the county that we try to translate our campaigns into, and actually we identified the top 20 tiers for the county. So those are the ones that we translated a lot of our materials, not everything. And then we did testing, we did online testing, and we did focus groups. Actually, online testing of materials is very interesting. It's actually cheaper than the focus groups we found, and you're able to get a lot. We got a sample of 500, and you're able to do some demographic backgrounds that become, or breakdowns that are quite interesting and get actually more nuanced information that you can get from focus groups. So it was the first time for us doing that, which was very informative. This is our campaign homepage or in the main website. And I'm just going to point to, at the very top it says active healthy kids, smoke-free places, and healthy choices. So really we were trying to point people to this site, and then those pages actually had areas in which people can have, we have calls to action. So if you want to work in your school, these are some of the things you want to do. If you want to work in your neighborhoods. So that's how we organized it. We had our series of ads, and we have some photo voice and digital stories, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. So just some examples of some of our products, and this is one of the ones that cuts across tobacco and obesity and focusing on healthy corner stores. So here stores are full of tobacco, why can't they be full of fruit? And then it says together we can ask our local stores to carry healthier options. Here's one on sugary drinks. Super sugary drinks are everywhere. Why can't I find more milk? And then together, again, we can ask for these things. A couple of the other things that we developed as part of this, we had a very broad coalition with a lot of groups working on things. So this is a place, a site that we developed for all our partners for them to feature their stories or videos, a lot of things that they were producing. This is Photo Voice, and I know there's been a lot of sessions actually at this conference around this, both digital stories and videos and photo stories. And we had a lot of examples, actually, in which these were effectively used. They were used in some of the housing situations in which people were able to talk about the smoke that's going into their house. We had an Asian woman who did a story about her community center that was reducing the hours that they had. And it was a very touching story that she did in Chinese about how she was losing the opportunity to see her friends and engage in physical activity. So a lot of great stories and things that actually accomplish some real changes. In terms of the things that we were able to do, just overview of some of the kind of media assets that we had, some of the 180 million impressions of this campaign. We had some sub-campaigns, for example. We had some ads, and we did a big buy just on tobacco cessation and pointing people to Quitline. Or we did something specifically just on sugary drinks as well. I mean, in terms of the tobacco and pointing people to the Quitline, as we were creating some of these changes in environments, we needed to provide people resources so they can access some of the cessation resources. We had over 100 digital stories, 150 news stories, Facebook. We were proud of the Facebook, but probably it's minuscule in terms of the numbers that New York and LA get. So some of the post-campaign survey, because we did the pre and the post, really it was very, found a lot of support for the health departments and the county playing a role in improving neighborhoods. But still people thought that the individual was very important. But it wasn't that people were necessarily thinking that people are individually responsible for just exercising. Actually, they were individually responsible for also changing their environments, which was something that we wanted to see. Most of the people that were willing to get involved with younger were non-white and lower-income residents. People who saw the campaign, there were some interesting higher numbers and significance there in terms of they were more willing to talk to their neighbors, volunteer with local efforts, and contact local leaders and decision makers. So that's my part. I cut up a few things that I was going to elaborate on. Because I wanted to make sure I get to, this is Susie Gates. Susie from the CDC unfortunately wasn't able to be here, but she's been really, for community spending prevention and working on communities transformation grant, she's been really the leader of the community communications work, and she really wanted to be here, but she can't. So she sent some slides and some notes too, so I'm going to do a little bit of reading. So really what a lot of the work that we were doing as part of community spending prevention work and also in terms of the media was about focusing, you might have seen this before, which really traditionally and what's also a lot more cost ineffective is working at the counseling education level at the top. But really what we're trying to do more is working on these broader changing the context to make individuals' default decisions healthy. So working at the lower part of the triangle. This is just you can get a sense of a lot of the work that was happening within as part of CPPW. There were 50 communities across the United States, and really it shows that communications was integrated into programs and program evaluation activities. It was the reach was quite amazing, actually. We had more than 50 million people, or 1 in 6 Americans, lived in an area. Whether it's a tribe, a town, a county, a rural or urban area that was benefited from community spending prevention's work. Really focusing on two groups, really those who were the highest burden population, so those who were had the worst health outcomes, but also on those people that made the decisions, the influencers, which is really important. You need to really work in communications, especially do that work together. Personal stories were key, and I think we all used a lot of personal stories. I mean, when you're talking about systems and environments, sometimes how do we make this real? And throughout, whether it's through photo voices or some other strategies that we used, it was very common to use these personal stories. Also, how do you talk about, these were all two-year projects, and actually we even weren't required by the CDC to show an impact. It's impossible to show that really obesity rates or tobacco rates dipped in such a short period, but there was also very creative ways that actually we developed and the CDC developed too in terms of showing that we're making a difference. And you can do these things and how many people you reach and how many healthier environments you have created. So with that, we're going to go into questions, and hopefully we got 5 minutes still.
Yeah.
So I rushed there. This is a great resource too. We all have put our materials. Some people might be familiar with the Tobacco Clearinghouse of media materials that the CDC runs, but now this is a new resource that's available. It's the Community Health Media Center that has obesity prevention materials on there. And I think most communities putting prevention to work communities have put our materials there, and folks are willing to share those with local communities. And the thing that all those things have in common is that they've all been actually tested. So it's a great resource.
Thank you.